Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
It's Green and Growing with Ashley Frasca.
Plants, flowers, trees, and stuff.
On 95.5 WSB.
A lot of topics here on the show today. Green and Growing for your April 13th edition. I'll be followed up by Dave Baker in the Home Fix It show, and he is on remote. He is on location with Clark Howard celebrating the build of Clark's 100th Habitat House here in Atlanta. Congratulations. What a fun thing to be out on today. And I'm stuck in the studio, but I get to talk to you guys, so that's a plus. 404-872-0750. Call in with any questions, concerns, comments, ways you garden and save money doing so. The reason I ask is because I was asked for a little blurb for an article, I think, in a publication in South Carolina. I probably should have done a little more research on where that was going to be. But ways to save money. Gardening. So I know you've got some ideas. A lot of you have been doing this longer than me. 404-872-0750. Be sure to check my website to see where I'm going to be out and about, ways you can see me, hear me, get in touch with me, and also different webinars, different classes, opportunities, events going on at nature centers and places like Oakland Cemetery, Atlanta Botanical Gardens. All of that is put together in one place on my website. If you're a big fan of all things here in Metro Atlanta, go to wsbradio.com/greenandgrowing and scroll down to events and find out some fun things coming up this spring and the summer. And of course, every Saturday on the show here lately, I've been highlighting local farmers markets. And almost every larger community in the suburbs of Atlanta has a farmers market. And so today's feature was Woodstock. That's where I grew up, Woodstock, and their farmers market opens next Saturday. So you can find an extensive list of community farmers markets. Maybe if you're new to your community and you're not sure, go to the Georgia Department of Agriculture's website, type in farmers markets, and there you can find a very extensive list of their hours of operation, the months that they're open. Many of them are now opening if they were closed for the wintertime. So talked a little bit about a flashback. 4 years ago when the show started, I was in a panic because I had about 3 shows under my belt after Walter Reeves retired, and then a pandemic hit, right? So I thought, oh, great, I'm going to do a radio show that more people are listening because they're at home, more people were interested in gardening because they had more money, they had more time at home. So I did a fun weekly segment called Celebrity Gardener and got to talk to a lot of really, really great people over the years, and everybody was available for a phone interview. It was crazy, the people I was able to get in touch with. One was Chuck Lavelle, who was the keyboardist for the Rolling Stones, used to be the Allman Brothers. Fascinating. And he is going to be on tour with the Rolling Stones coming up. They just started their tour in the United States, and they're going to be at Mercedes-Benz Stadium on June 7th. But Scott Slade recently caught up with Chuck Lavelle because he owns a tree farm here in Georgia at the Charlane Plantation, as a matter of fact. And he is very, very well known in the tree industry, a big advocate of trees, tree health. He knows a lot about pine trees and other things. And it was great to hear Scott catch up with him. And we are a city in the trees here in Atlanta. And it was Georgia Arbor Day back in February. I know the National Arbor Day is a little bit different. I think it's this month. But listen back to some of that conversation, the benefits of trees, from Chuck Lavelle.
Trees do so much for us, Scott. I know you know this, but when I talk about these issues, you know, they give you materials to build our homes, schools, churches, offices. They clean our air. They clean our water. They give us respite from everyday life, home and shelter to all manner of wildlife. And we could go on and on and on. But I would say it's the most important natural resource that we have.
And we're lucky around Metro Atlanta to have the kind of tree canopy we have for the most part. And there's a lot of green in Georgia. What concerns you most preserving what we have?
Well, first of all, let me say what a great job that the organization Trees Atlanta does. I mean, it's phenomenal to fly over the city of Atlanta and look down at a metro, what is it now, 8 million or something?
Yeah.
And to see the greenery that exists. So hats off to not only Trees Atlanta, but all of those that participate in planting, maintaining, and growing these trees. So, Georgia is a huge forestry state. We have forests that we have for recreation and wildlife and preservation. We have forests that we use for materials, as I mentioned, to build these buildings that we want to build. There's a lot of new technology going on that is fantastic, that's slowly coming to the Southeast now. Technology like cross-laminated timber that's being used to build tall buildings out of wood instead of concrete and steel. So there's some good news on the horizon here.
Chuck, you no doubt see the effects of climate change right in front of you on your own property in the big tree farm there. What's your message to folks who have trouble believing that it's happening?
You know what? Go to NASA.gov, NASA.gov. This is a organization that is a scientific organization. I think we all know about it. And they track climate change. The facts are all there. The facts are the facts. You can't deny them. Sea level rise is happening. Glacial reduction is happening. Temperature rises are more rapid now than at any time in our recorded history. You can't change the facts, but what you can do is do something about it. And I like the fact that Georgia is working hard on alternative energy. I think we need to be careful, Scott, because, okay, I like solar. I think solar is great, but I don't think it's great when you rip up 3,000-4,000 acres of prime timberland and wildlife habitat to put it in. If we put it, on the sides of our airstrips, airports and such, if we put it in areas that make sense, I think that's wonderful. Let's do it. We want to reduce our carbon footprint, but let's be careful how we do it.
Is this the time of year you plant on your farm?
We do. Yes, I've been planting personally. It's one of my favorite things to do, Scott, is put those seedlings in the ground. You watch them grow over the years, and it's just phenomenal. I mean, the first tract that Rose Lane and I planted was back in 1981. That tract has been thinned twice now, and it's just an absolutely beautiful forest with white-tailed deer and wild turkey and quail in the habitat. And so, that's one of my favorite things to do, is put them in the ground.
I've wrestled with pine beetles on my property, Chuck. Have you found anything that worked to beat back those little bastards?
Well, you are correct. And as a matter of fact, we just had to clear cut about 50 to 60 acres due to the southern pine beetle. It's part of climate change. You know, these insects have been there for millennia. They've been there forever, but they're kept in check by cold and wet weather. And when that cold and wet weather does not occur, and you have the warmer temperatures and you have periods of dry, they have a party. They just go crazy. They proliferate. And it's something that, we have to keep an eye on. You can only do what you can do. Now, these other species of beetles, the Ips beetle and the black gum turpentine beetle, are not so devastating. They may get, three, four, half dozen trees in a spot, but the southern pine beetle is the guy that just rips it up.
And then finally, what's next? Is there any anything on the immediate agenda? Obviously getting ready for this tour, right?
Absolutely getting ready for the tour, but I'll be planting some trees today. I'll be working on Shoreline Woodlands probably right up to the time that I leave, which is in late March. And then I'll give all my focus to rock and roll, baby.
The Rolling Stones Hackney Diamonds Tour will hit Mercedes-Benz Stadium here in Atlanta in June. Chuck LaVille, thank you for taking this time with our listeners.
Thank you so much, Scott.
Great conversation there with Rolling Stones keyboardist Chuck LaVille and Scott Slade. One of the other things we have been talking about in the top three things to do in the landscape this weekend and along on the show, especially when I was talking to Jut Howard last week with NG Turf, had Clint Waltz on the show in March. Poa annua, annual bluegrass, right? That is a nuisance in the lawn right now. I started off the show posting that on my Facebook page, pictures of it in my yard. Yes, yes, as I'm mowing the grass, I'm rolling over those thousands and thousands of seed heads. I did go back and listen to a conversation I had with Clint when he called in the show at the beginning of March, and really just talking about there is not much to do about it. Once it's emerged and it's going crazy in your landscape, there's not really a reliable chemical to spray or a granular to use. I know that sounds like a flimsy kind of answer for those of you who are just looking for something to go get at the nursery or the big box store. But this stuff is super, super resistant to a lot of chemicals. If you want to read a little bit more about some of the work that Dr. Patrick McCullough and Dr. Clint Waltz have put out through the University of Georgia, go to Google and type Clint Waltz, W-A-L-T-Z, POA annua, P-O-A annua, A-N-N-U-A. Come up with this article from just a couple of years ago, this time 2 years ago, a landscape alert. Read a little bit more about POA annua and understand kind of the resistance that it has developed over time. Talk to your whoever your landscaper is, though, whoever takes care of your lawn, and look at some of these chemicals. A lot of these aren't necessarily available as residential, but they are commercially. And some of these chemicals to treat POA annua may be used by your landscapers. And it's going to have to be repeat applications as well. So in my top three things to do, I was more or less just saying, you know, pull out the clumps that you can. I know that's like beating your head against a wall because there's 100 clumps in your yard, if not more. And keeping up with mowing. Dr. Clint Waltz would say that too. Mowing pressure, applying mowing pressure to these weeds is one of the best ways to keep them knocked back. So that means you're mowing your yard, you know, every 5 to 7, 8 days, depending on rainfall, how much sun your yard's getting and all of that. Like I'm a little behind right now. Probably 2 or 3 days ago I could have mowed. But that's a great way to stay ahead of the weeds. And trust me on this show when I tell you, in September, I will be the first to let you know for a number of weeks when to apply the pre-emergence herbicide or the weed preventer so that you will have less POA annua. And yeah, I thought, oh, it's a cool season weed, right? It'll die out when it gets hot. Not necessarily. Again, this stuff is becoming so persistent that it doesn't necessarily, it's not necessarily an annual, as the name would indicate. 404-872-0750. My guest, Richard Ludwig, program director and developed the Environmental Horticulture Program at Gwinnett Tech. He's going to join me. And we'll have an update from Augusta National from our very own Bill Caiancio, who's at the Masters today. So stay tuned for all of that to come before 9 o'clock. You're listening to 95.5 WSB.
Did you know you could listen to Green and Growing, Atlantis Morning News, and all your favorite shows on your smart speaker? Tell it to play 95.5 WSB, and we're on.
95.5 WSB, Atlanta's News and Talk. Here's Ashley.
All right, currently 51 degrees here on Peachtree Street in Midtown Atlanta. It's going to warm up to 75 for most of us today, guys. The weather update for the weekend brought to you by Finley Roofing. Low of only 54 at this point. Who cares what the low is? You don't need to bring plants in and out. I know that. And then mostly sunny skies for tomorrow and Monday with highs in the low 80s.
Green and Growing with Ashley Frasca. Here's your garden to-do list this week.
All right. Number one, how about we go to town and we plant those tomatoes and peppers and squash and eggplant? You just heard me mention what the highs are. I really think, I mean, I would have to confer with Brad Nitz and Brian Monahan and Christina Edwards, but I highly doubt that there's going to be another freeze, right? So it's around tax time. It's safe for us here in Metro Atlanta to plant our gardens. And if you haven't ever planted tomatoes, do. I think that's an easy plant to start with. Some people would disagree because of all the pests and viruses and diseases that could come along with tomatoes, but get a very good resistant variety that's grown from a place you trust. But when you're planting those tomato plants, did you know that all the little hairs, all the little fibers coming off of the stem, those could become roots? So you can actually plant those somewhat deeply, like all the way down to right underneath the lowest set of leaves. And that's just going to make that root system more intricate. It's going to give a little bit of depth and strength to the tomato plants, but don't be afraid to bury them too deep. Be prepared to keep up with watering too. Scout for pests, especially during the summer months. If you're going to be gone for any length of time this summer, A, you got to have a good neighbor watching after your garden, or just don't do it. Number two, remove guy wires from fall planted trees or else they're going to girdle the limbs. This is one of the biggest pet peeves of Georgia arborists that I meet. So when the contractor hires a landscape company to come out, and it's great, you know, they do all these new plantings in front of a new neighborhood, but then no one comes back and removes those guy wires. So trees that move with the wind are going to tend to grow stronger and be able to withstand the elements on their own. So remove those supports after a few months. Mulch around the trees if you haven't already. And a reminder to not put that mulch. Don't crowd it right up to the trunk of the tree. Leave a little bit of space, right? And number three, green grass and Bermuda lawn right now. It's bright green. It's hard to miss. It's Poa annua, annual bluegrass. Try digging it out. That's really my recommendation for you right now. Better yet, what Clint Waltz would say, and I've been quoting him all morning long, and I think he's up listening already, a mental note for you to put out weed preventer in September. If you're overwrought with Poa annua, you will be for the rest of your life if you don't start using weed preventer pre-emergence herbicide in September. I'll remind y'all to do it. Don't worry. In the meantime, mowing pressure is going to be really good, making sure that you just keep the lawn mowed regularly. 404-872-0750. My guest, who I met through the Georgia Urban Ag Council, Richard Ludwig, joins me. We're going to be taking calls and talking about sustainable gardening and so much more when we come back. You're listening to Green and Growing on 95.5 WSB.
It's Green and Growing with Ashley Frasca.
Plants, flowers, trees, and stuff.
On 95.5 WSB.
Plants, flowers, trees, and stuff. That always makes me giggle because I just like it. We talk about everything here on the show. Welcome to Green and Growing, halfway through on your Saturday morning. 51 degrees in Metro Atlanta. It's going to be a beautiful day. Get out there and work in the yard. Don't do a whole lot of digging, though. The soil's still kind of wet. But there's lots of other things you can do. I think the grass is going to dry out if you need to get out there and mow. Look after the birds, fill the bird feeders, whatever it is. 404-872-0750. So I am so glad to have a guest in studio. I'm not alone this morning. Dr. Richard Ludwig. We met at an Urban Ag Council event. Yes. We had a great conversation, Dr. Ludwig and I. Retired career educator, program director of environmental horticulture, one of the many reasons why that exists at Gwinnett Technical College. Former host of Garden Smart. So many of you are big fans of that show on PBS. And a former garden specialist for Southern Living Magazine. So, Dr. Ludwig, I'm so glad you joined me today.
Ashley, thank you so much for the invitation. Love being here and love talking about sustainable landscaping.
The minute you said that to me when we were sitting at the table together at the event back in March, I thought, I've got to have you on the show. That was a key word for a key phrase for me, because that's not something that I've spent a lot of time on. And I feel like I know enough to be dangerous, but an expert like you, this is a conversation that we could have for the rest of the show.
Well, and you know, it's been a fad for a number of years, but now it's more than a trend. It's something that we all need to pay attention to. It's not just good for our yards, but it's great for the planet.
Absolutely. So I know this is a big topic, and we'll kind of get into it, maybe take some calls as well. I know a lot of folks are passionate about this, 404-872-0750. But Dr. Ludwig, how would you define sustainable gardening? What exactly does that mean?
Boy, a lot of connotations, a lot of definitions. Means a lot of different things to many people. My favorite definition is the one from Colorado State. And essentially, in one or two sentences, it means a partnership. A team approach to landscaping as opposed to us trying to put Mother Nature in her place. And that doesn't in any way mean that we can't do a lot of the great traditional things that we do. I mean, I love a well-kept manicured yard. But is there a way that we can keep from making an ecological desert out there by our use of pesticides and products and ways that we do things?
You know, we talked just off air moments ago, beating my head against a wall about Poa annua, annual bluegrass, such a hot question right now. I posted pictures of it in my yard on my Facebook page, Green and Growing WSB. But that's just one of those things where, you know, or if you have pests on your house plants, everybody wants that answer. What can I spray? What can I put in the soil? And that's not always my go-to answer. I want to kind of do a little bit of research first, try some other steps, integrated pest management, if you will, before we get to spraying chemicals. And I'm not some crazy environmentalist, but it just makes sense that that should not be our go-to because of the domino effect of some of the things we use.
Well, and now the new term is not just IPM, integrated pest management. It's integrated pollinator and pest management.
Hey.
So not only do we, you know, try not to start off with a heavy chemical, but we pay attention to the life cycle of a lot of these critters and try to work with them and work with Mother Nature to achieve that same goal.
So when you, in your time with Gwinnett Technical College in the Environmental Horticulture Program, I mean, there are programs at the universities and in the industry designed for environmental horticulture. What all does that encompass? What does someone learn under that wide course?
First of all, it's a very intense, concentrated approach to education. If you're looking for a well-rounded education, do not go to a technical college. Go, you know, that's what four-year schools are for.
Sure.
But a two-year program or one or two-year program gives you the real meat that you need to be successful in the industry. So it's a very profit-centered or very career-centered approach. But at the same time, you get just about everything you need to be successful.
And is there time in the field as well? I would imagine, like, you can show PowerPoint slides of this weed, but actually getting them out into the field and seeing it in real life applications, totally different.
I love teaching hands-on classes. I am not a PowerPoint or sit in a classroom and take notes kind of guy.
Cool.
So yes, it's very hands-on. It's very get out there and do it and try it. And sometimes things don't work out, but that's how you learn.
Yeah, yeah. And you learn from seeing something in its environment. You know, I mean, you can describe a dandelion to somebody, but until they've actually yanked it out of the yard themselves and felt good and saw that long tuberous kind of root, it's just hard to explain unless someone's seen it.
Amen.
And let me ask you, Dr. Ludwig, the place for native plants in sustainable landscaping.
Well, Ashley, I am a pragmatist, not a purist. So I am not about to say the only thing you should ever plant in your yard is a native plant. They are wonderful when they are in the right place. A good philosophy to follow with natives is don't fight the site. Just because it happens to be here or a plant that was here before we were doesn't necessarily mean it's going to thrive in the place you put it. So a thorough site analysis, understanding what the plants need and then matching those needs with that native plant is a great way to go. One more thing about natives.
Sure.
We overexpect with natives. You know, we've seen the hydrangea bloom and we've seen the plant, the hybrid do so well. Our expectations are sometimes a little bit too much for our natives. So we need to give them a break. Be patient with them. But boy, I love them if I can find them and they're in the right place.
And there are a lot of specialty nurseries and even the trial gardens at the University of Georgia that, you know, trial some natives as well as other things. But sometimes they are hard to find. And a lot of people that are very passionate about them and follow the Georgia Native Plant Society plant sales and people sharing plants and stuff all the time. But explain to listeners who they hear native plant, but they don't really understand. What are some of the benefits of including natives in the landscape and the importance of doing so?
Sure. And before I do that, let me tell folks about the website of the State Botanical Garden.
Mm-hmm.
They have a wonderful list of native plant nurseries.
Okay.
And for many, many years, it was hard to find good stuff. But now we're starting to see a real explosion of local nurseries that hold natives and those that are exclusively native plants. So it's very exciting.
Okay, great. State Botanical Gardens there in Athens, Georgia. Visit that website for a list of nurseries.
botgarden.uga.edu.
Okay, very good, very good. So the benefits of natives, though, like why does that make a difference in our landscape?
They don't require, once they're happy, they don't require the same care. In fact, they don't like it. They'd appreciate it just being left alone.
Low mate.
And so I always say when you pick natives, pick your plants like you pick a puppy.
Oh.
They're all at one time, you know, a couple inches tall, but some natives get 10 feet tall. Some natives get 2 feet tall when they're mature. And so you want to know how big they're going to be before you pick them. You also want to make sure that they're functional, and that's actually a good tenet for sustainable design or sustainable landscaping, is that a plant may look pretty, it may have wonderful flowers, but what else can it do? Does it attract pollinators? Are there berries for the birds? What is it functional and purposeful? And that really elevates it in the landscape.
And let's touch a little bit on, we have a few minutes before break here, but this is a broader topic under sustainable landscaping as well, sustainable gardening, but being resourceful with water. That really goes a long way to having a sustainable area, whether it's the entire yard or a part of the yard, but ways to be water wise.
And the term that I'm familiar with, I lived in Colorado for a number of years, is xeriscaping, which is water-efficient landscaping. And out there, they get 8 inches of rain a year.
Gosh.
We get, what, 40, 50, 60 inches.
Yeah, I think we had 8 or 9 inches in March alone. So.
And unfortunately, it doesn't come, you know, 1 inch a week. It comes in, you know, like they turn the shower on for a while, and then it doesn't rain for 6 weeks. One of the things we want to do in terms of water is, first of all, dig a wide hole. Instead of adding a lot of organic matter to our natives, because that sort of creates a artificial environment, we dig a very wide hole in the native soil, which then allows that clay to hold the water rather than it work like asphalt. Heavy clay that's packed down has a percolation rate of 1/4 inch per hour,
Jeez.
Which is the same as your road.
Wow.
And so by breaking it up and then mulch like a maniac, you know, 1 to 2 inches.
I like that. I'm going to use that phrase.
It's and that really, that's what those natives love. Like we said, they were here before we were, and that should do it.
Well, and you coming from Colorado here to Georgia, where we do have that clay soil, making it work for us. I mean, it wouldn't be there if there wasn't a way for man to be able to make it work.
Too many people think of clay as a four-letter word, and that's not necessarily true. Now, if we don't do anything, it's hard-packed, water just runs off of it, and you can't really grow anything. It's anaerobic. There's no air in there. But if we do break it up, it holds nutrients. It holds water. It's really a good place to live if you're a plant.
And hey, if you're enjoying the azaleas right now, you have your clay, you know, soils to thank for that. The acidic clay soils, our azaleas are looking great right now. Coming up later in the show, we will have a master's update from Augusta National and our own Bill Kyancio. I can't wait to hear not so much how the players stand in the standings, but what's in bloom out there? Because I know that is one of the places closest to heaven is Augusta National. Richard Ludwig with me on the show this morning. If you have questions or comments about sustainable landscaping, we would love to hear from you. 404-872-0750. Going to step out, and then I'm going to ask Richard for his help with the top three things to do in the landscape this weekend when we return. It's 95.5 WSB.
The WSB news and traffic teams will keep you updated all weekend here on 95.5 WSB. Listen first thing Monday at 5 a.m. for those important news, weather, and traffic updates.
Now back to Ashley Fresca and Green and Growing.
A quick look at the weekend weather brought to you by Finley Roofing. Today, a high in the mid-70s. Tomorrow and Monday, highs in the low 80s, and it's not going to rain. We like that. The complete forecast comes up in less than 10 minutes.
Green and Growing. Ashley Fraska's top three things to do this weekend.
All right, I've got Richard Ludwig in studio with me, former retired educator from Gwinnett Technical College, and so much more. And I'm going to have you weigh in on number three, Richard, so just hang tight. Number one, remove guy wires from your fall planted trees, or else they're going to girdle the limbs. Make sure to mulch around trees if you haven't already. Number two, that green grass, that bright green grass in your Bermuda lawn right now could likely be Poa annua, annual bluegrass. Dig out what you can. Mowing pressure, regular mowing is going to help. Better yet, you got to put out weed preventer, pre-emergence herbicide in September. And number three, now is the time to get that summer vegetable garden out. Tomatoes, peppers, squash, eggplant. You've got to keep up with watering over the summer. You've got to scout for pests. What feedback do you have? I know you're a passionate gardener, Richard.
You mentioned earlier the need or the ability for tomato plants, for example, to be planted deep. Mm-hmm. And that really helps that root system take off because of all those adventitious roots that will grow because you plant them deep. If you'll core your containers, now what do I mean by core your containers? If you're growing tomatoes in a large pot, it's a great idea. Fill the bottom third with premium potting soil.
Okay.
Then find a 1 gallon plastic container and fill it full of heavy clay. Here's a good way to use clay.
Okay.
All right, so we've got this gallon of heavy clay. We're going to set it upside down in the pot, fill the sides with more premium potting mix, remove the plastic pot. So now we have this core, and then fill the rest of it up with more premium potting mix, sort of like a peanut M&M. In other words, we've got the clay in the middle and the premium potting mix all the way around. And oh my goodness, in terms of holding nutrients and moisture, those tomato plants and any veggies or flowers in it will really thrive.
So the core is clay.
Is clay, yes.
This is interesting. So you can use just that black, flimsy, 1 gallon pot from a nursery in maybe a container that, I mean, that could be, what, 18, 20, 22 inches wide?
Yeah, no more than maybe 25 to 30% clay. The rest of the, and we wouldn't ever mix them together. You don't want to mix clay with the premium potting mix. But that core works to, you'll drop your watering needs by about half with that core.
That is so cool. I love it because things dry out much more quickly in containers. And so container gardeners, you know to water a little more frequently. What about trellising all of the cucurbits and things? I mean, that's probably pretty important to make sure those things grow elevated, right?
Especially if you don't have a lot of space.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to keep things off the ground. The slugs, the snails, they're real happy when that cucumber or that tomato or whatever it is sitting there on the ground.
Yeah. Yes. So having some kind of trellis system. Okay, so when we return with Dr. Richard Ludwig, I want to talk about sustainable gardening, making things sustainable and being thoughtful about that, yet attractive, because we come at it from the attractive angle because we know the battle that many of you deal with homeowners associations. Love them, hate them, they are what they are, and so we want to make everybody happy. So sustainable gardening and making it attractive and practical. Your questions, 404-872-0750. We'll be right back. You better stay tuned to Green and Growing.
With the McDonald's app, you can get your favorite thing delivered to your door. So if you were looking for a reason to skip washing those dishes you left in the sink, consider this a sign. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Right now, get $0 delivery fee with any purchase of $15 or more, only in the app. At participating McDonald's, minimum purchase excludes tax and service fees. Delivery prices may be higher than in restaurants. Other fees may apply, not valid with any other offer, discount, or coupon.